4. And I'm going to be looking at, as we read the parable of the sower, I want to look at this thought: is there something wrong with the soil? Something wrong with the soil. And Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 9, and then we'll read also verse 13 through 20. It says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and some and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 13, and he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then shall ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Notice in there in verse 9, he said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The problem, as we see here, was with the different kinds of soil. The problem was with the different kinds of hearts of believers. And we're going to focus in on that part of the message today. Father, I ask that you would help us. Lord, I desire to preach your word, to preach it faithfully. God, it is always our desire that your word will do an effective work in each heart. But Father, we understand from reading this parable, it largely comes down to the heart. Father, there are people here today that will be possibly hard-hearted to the message. There will be people that like it for a time. There will be people who at some time in their life may develop a new love for the world and go away from you. But God, it is our desire that each person here today and each person hearing this message today, that they would be fruitful Christians. I pray that as I preach the message, that each one of us would understand that it is dependent upon our heart and how we receive the seed, the word of God. I ask that you would work effectively in us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The seed is very clearly the word of God. We see the different kinds of soil, but I want to just notice there is nothing wrong with the seed. The seed that was sown, and we just spent 4 messages talking about the perfection of the King James Bible, and what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. There is nothing wrong with the seed. The Bible says concerning the seed in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick means alive. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know that as you sow the seed, whether it is spoken word, whether it is preached word, whether it is given by way of having a gospel tract given to you, the word of God has no defects. The word of God, every seed that is planted concerning the word of God has the power in it to produce in the heart of a person eternal life. The Word of God is there for each person. If you're saved today, it is because you heard the message from the Word of God, then you realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You believed from the Word of God that there was a hell and that you were headed straight for it, and you believed that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for your sins, and you turned to Jesus and put your faith and trust in Jesus and asked Him to save you. If you're saved, all of that information came to you from the seed, the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's Word is quick and powerful. God's Word is effective. We understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we don't need to just give people advice. We need to give them Bible. We don't need to tell people about religion. We need to give them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you. He hung on that cross and bore your sins. He had to die because you were a sinner, because I was a sinner. He died in order to save us from eternal punishment in hell. He died for us, and He invites us to come to Him and be saved. The Word of God is quick and powerful. There's nothing wrong with the Word. In this passage, we see that the sower is the person who gives out the seed. You know, again, nothing wrong with the seed. In this passage, we don't see anything wrong with the sower. The sower went out and the sower sowed the seed. He was scattering that seed like you would scatter grass seed, and some of that seed is going to work effectively and some of it is not, and it has nothing to do with the seed, and it is no fault of the sower. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible tells us, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He's telling them, look, go out and witness. Give the gospel. Share the Word of God. Tell people that Jesus died for them. Give out John 3:16. Go down the Romans road. Witness. Give out a tract. Post a message. We must be sowing. You know, there is no wrong person to give the gospel to. You know, this sower, he's going out and he's like, I've got the seed. The seed is abundant. By the way, there's no limit on the seed. You can't give out too much. You know, just give it out. Give it out freely. Distribute it regularly. Let's make sure that we understand. If you give the gospel to somebody, there's no wrong person. We can't go through, boy, we're not Calvinists that go through and say, well, maybe Jesus died for you and maybe He didn't. No, Jesus died for every man. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Word of God is there for everybody. And so as sowers, the only thing that would be ineffective about us sowing the seed is if we don't sow it. Give it out. Well, I just don't feel like it's doing anything. Give it out. I can guarantee you this, it won't grow if it's not planted. And so we are to be freely sowing the seed. Nothing wrong with the sower. Nothing wrong with the seed. So where does the problem lie? It lies with the soil. There are four types of soil here, and we're going to look at them, and I want you to consider your own heart. You may look at it, you may say, well, I'm saved. Great, you weren't the wayside. But it ought to be the desire of every single one of us to be fruit-bearing Christians. That ought to be our goal and our desire. And if we are not, remember this, it's not because of the Word of God. It's not because of the sower of the Word of God. If you are not a fruit-bearing Christian, it comes down to a heart problem in your heart. And so let's look at it and let's analyze and let's let the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts as we go through this. Mark chapter 4 and verse 4 says this, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." Verse 15 gives the spiritual connection to that. "And these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, the wayside is simply this. It is a hard-hearted person who has no concern, no reception to the word of God. You give the word of God, the seed falls upon their heart, and their heart takes it not into consideration, and Satan is active in this person to say, "I don't want that seed to be able to take root," and so he goes about and does everything possible to keep that seed from settling in to that heart. This heart is hard-packed. It's the wayside soil. When it comes to the word of God, is your heart hard to the word of God? Why wouldn't you receive it? Would you consider the message of the gospel? Would you consider and just think with me, you're a sinner on your way to hell. Jesus died for you so you wouldn't have to die to go to hell. And he died so that you could have a home in heaven and forgive your sins and reconcile you to God. That's a pretty good message. Why in the world would people not want that message? Hard-heartedness. They don't want to think about eternity. They are self-centered. They're thinking about the here and now. They have no desire to think about what's going to happen in the future. I look at it and think, here is a free gift of eternal life. Why would a person just say, "I don't want anything to do with it"? The hardness of sin in the heart. And you can sow the seed on that person's heart. They're the kind of person that, you know, they don't want to take a gospel tract. They'll shut the door. They don't want to listen to a church service. You might not be able to get them in under the hearing of the word of God. And Satan is actively working in this person. And this is the only person in the group that it really shows that Satan himself is actively working to keep that word from settling in. This is the situation where you're trying to witness to a person, and while you're trying to witness to that person, their phone rings 30 times. This is the person that you're trying to give the gospel to them, and there's distractions on every corner as Satan tries to distract them from being able to even listen and hear the word of God. But they are relatively easily distracted because they really don't want it. They're hard-hearted. So consider today, if you're here and you're not saved, you're not on your way to heaven, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would ask you, why? He loved you and died for you. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you eternal life. Why wouldn't you receive Him? Would you consider your heart? Would you consider a loving God who sent His Son Jesus to die for you? Would you let the Word of God break through your heart, that hard shell that you've put up, that resistance that you put up to letting God change you? Would you consider your heart today and ask God to help you with your heart? The second kind of heart or ground is this. Verse 5 and 6 of Mark 4, "And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Verse 16 and 17 describe the heart of the person. And it says, "These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Wow, this is great. Jesus died for me. I can go to heaven. What a wonderful truth this is. They're excited about it. And then it says, "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." I'm not going to go in and try to figure out who's saved and who's not in this passage. It's not the purpose of the passage. The purpose of the passage is to describe the different kinds of heart, and the purpose of the passage is to be fruit-bearing Christians. This obviously is not a fruit-bearing Christian. But they heard the gospel. They were excited about it. If you were to describe this heart, you would describe it as a person who has no depth. You would describe it as they love the next great thing that comes along. They might be the kind of person, boy, they, you know, somebody says, hey, here's, you can win this cruise. And man, they're going to sign up for it. They're going to be here and there and everywhere. Oh, the next great thing that comes along. And they heard the word of God, and that was just the next great thing that came along, and they were excited about it. And they said, well, yeah, boy, this is great. I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to ask Jesus to save me. And they did, and they asked the Lord Jesus to save them, and they may have done so by faith. But then their very character, the hardness of their heart, this stony ground, so they're not, look, the ground on top is soft, but underneath, it's hard. This is the type of person that won't spend the time to go ahead and do discipleship lessons. They won't grow in the Word of God because they're just off to the next great thing. You know how many people have gotten saved and they were excited to get saved and they were excited then to get baptized and, oh, I want to do that. And then after they get baptized, you don't see them again because some other great thing came up on Sundays. Some other great thing pulled them away. And they're just off to the next thing. And maybe they were sincere, and maybe they meant it when they called out and asked Jesus to save them. But they don't have root. They didn't give the Word of God that depth of root that it needs in them. Salvation, eternal life sounds so great. But they do not understand commitment. They don't understand persecution. They don't understand self-denial. They don't understand taking up the cross. Matthew 16:24, Jesus made this statement. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, Peter nearly fell into this category. Peter comes along, he was excited about every great thing. But Peter, when the persecution came, and there he saw Jesus in the judgment hall, and they come to him and say, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And what did Peter say? Oh, not me. I don't know the man. Peter nearly fell into this category. He nearly was offended. Jesus, in fact, warned him ahead of time that he would be offended because of the persecution. And so as we look at this, and you wonder sometimes why a person gets, you know, boy, they seem to just want to get saved. They are excited about it, and they don't continue. It's because the person would not be committed. They were concerned about what people thought about them rather than what God thought about them. And they did not realize the Christian life is a long-term decision. Getting saved is a momentary, it is a new birth. But living the Christian life is a life of discipleship. It is a life of following Christ no matter what comes. And so we need to be careful that we don't just come along and, oh, this is the, you know, sometimes you get people, they come in and they come into church and, oh, wow, that was the greatest message I ever heard preached. And you don't see them again. Why? There's not commitment. There's a soil problem. There's a heart problem. The problem's not the Word of God. The problem's not even the messenger of the Word of God. The problem comes down to how about your heart? What kind of soil do you have? Are you continuing to respond to the Word of God on a daily and weekly basis? Will you take the next truth from the Word of God as excitedly as you took the first truth? Or are you going to be like, when somebody comes along and says, what in the world are you going to church for? Well, just own it. Jesus died for you. the third type of soil. Mark chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." Verse 18 and 19 says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Becometh unfruitful. See, this, the thorny ground, they're people who hear, and they understand, they grasp a hold of it. They may even go through and, boy, I'm going to do some discipleship lessons. They're growing, and as they're growing, they're excited about the Word of God. They're going to stay with the Word of God. But there's other things growing up in their heart along with the Word of God. They receive the good news of Christ. They have a desire for the Word. They want to grow. They even have a desire to be fruit-bearing. I want to do something for God with my life. But then the things of the world begin to pull on them. And ultimately it comes down to loving the world more than loving God. The Bible describes this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. A command is given because of this very danger. The Bible says, "Love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Now, this is not talking about not loving people. We ought to love people and give them the gospel. This is talking about the world system, the things of the world, the treasures of the world, the sins of the world, the temptations of the world. And he goes on to describe it and says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." He says, the problem is this: a man cannot serve two masters. A person, boy, they get saved, they receive the Word of God, it begins to grow, they're excited about that, they want to live for God. But boy, that ball game's on Sunday. Boy, they have a desire to be in church. But the Super Bowl's playing tonight. Boy, they have a desire to be in church, but I get paid double time if I work on Sunday. And what happens is this: instead of being separated from the world and growing up to the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in the Word and having every desire to be under the preaching of the Word of God and to get more of it and to go out and witness for Him to where you could actually bear fruit, what happens is your time begins to get divided. You're not sold out to God, you're trying to split the service to the world, the things that you want to do, the lust of the flesh, and the things of God. It goes on and says in verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The statement is given to understand, look, that new car is temporary. That fancy house is temporary. That lust of the flesh is temporary. But God is forever. And so there needs to be a dedication to God. Sunday is the Lord's Day. There's no question about it. We look at it, we say, look, it's the Lord's Day. I'm going to be in church on the Lord's Day. It's His day. There's nothing else in the world that the world has to offer that's going to keep me out of God's house on God's day. And we're looking at it and we're saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to have my devotions. And no TV show is going to keep me up until midnight to make me want to sleep in so that I have to rush out of bed and I don't spend time with God in the morning. And we look at it, and the person who has this thorny ground, the thorns are growing up. Look, the soil's good. But the soil is allowing two things to grow side by side, and the person, instead of dedicated to God, they're split, they're divided. One man in the Bible is described in 2 Timothy 4:10, where Paul said this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas started out. Demas had the soil was good. But the soil was good, and the seed of the Word of God was growing, and Demas was serving God, and Demas was serving God together alongside the Apostle Paul. But then it wasn't as comfortable, maybe, as this situation over here. Opportunities showed up. Sit up, Jane. Opportunities showed up that pulled on him. He said, well, rather than being committed to doing what God wants me to do and to going and serving the Lord together with the Apostle Paul, I'm going to go over here to Thessalonica, was it? He's departed unto Thessalonica. You know what's sad? There's no indication that he went to the church at Thessalonica. Just says he loved the present world. Thessalonica had a church. But he just fell in love with the world. He allowed his job, his friends, everything about those things to pull him out of God. We have a choice to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ or to live for the world. God doesn't want us divided. He doesn't want us split. You will only so long live with a foot on both sides of the fence. If you don't crucify your flesh daily, you're going to end up in the world. If you feed that flesh, you're in danger of going off toward the world. And then fourthly, Mark 4, verse 8, "Other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. The parallel verse is verse 20. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so we look at this, those who bear fruit, they love God more than they fear persecution. They love God more than any appeal for the things of the world. They're going to be dedicated. They're going to be in the Word of God. Their heart is inclined toward God. Why can two people from the same family grow up together in the same home, going to the same church under the same parents, and one will live for God and serve God, and the other will go after the world? What's the difference? The heart. It's the soil. The problem is the soil. Why can two people hear the same preaching, and one gets convicted and goes on for God, and the other one says, nothing here for me? The problem's not the word. The problem's not the sower. The problem is the soil. And so as we look at this, you have to consider, are you a fruit-bearing Christian? Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? Now, if you have a garden and it doesn't produce, what are you going to do? You realize the soil needs fixed, right? You're going to, hey, let's put some fertilizer in that. Let's work on the soil. But you know what? That takes some effort, doesn't it? And if we start to realize in our life and in our heart that the Word of God is not having the effect that it ought to be having on me, we are developing a soil problem. Maybe something has been hardening our heart. Maybe we've been developing stony ground and we aren't putting the time in to the Word of God, and so therefore there's no depth, there's no root system. Maybe we're getting so involved in the things of the world that it's pulling all of our attention away from the things of God, and we start to go that direction. Look, we consider this, can the soil be fixed? The answer is absolutely. The soil can be fixed. Jeremiah 4:3 says this, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." You know what happens? The ground, if it's hard, it needs to be broken up. The roots of the thorns need to be taken out, the soil turned over and tilled over and prepared. And part of it is this: do you come to church with a prepared heart? Have you asked God, "God, would you turn over the soil of my heart today?" Have you been in the Word of God? Have you pulled the weeds, the sins of the world? I'll tell you what, the sins of the world will keep us from growing, keep us from bearing fruit. And if we allow those sins to grow up beside the things of the Word of God, anybody ever see a good plant choke out a weed? I don't know. Doesn't seem to happen in my gardens. We had some pretty good tomato plants this year. Maybe they choked out some weeds. But for the most part, the weeds choke out the good thing. Hosea 10:12 says this, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." God, you haven't been working in my heart like you used to. God, I'm not growing anymore. God, I'm not getting anything out of my devotions like I used to. I know, God, that the problem is not the Word of God. There's no problem with that. And so, God, that means the problem is in my heart. The problem, God, is me. Will you go to God and say, "God, my ground needs plowed up. The thorns need pulled aside. God, I'm going to seek you. God, I'm going to be in your word. God, I'm going to be praying. God, I want righteousness back. God, these sins have taken root in my heart. God, I want righteousness back. God, I'm backslidden. God, I need you. I want to be back where I once was. I want there to be good ground. Please work in my heart. I want righteousness back." And that's the message there of Hosea. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. If you're backslidden, sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. You've done some things that you don't want to reap for. Well, if you planted some things that you don't want to reap, it's time to cut off the stalks. Break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Getting saved is easy. But you read some old-time testimonies where people were battling and they knew that they loved this sin. And they knew that they loved this lifestyle, but they heard the Word of God. And they knew they needed Jesus. And they knew that they wanted to have forgiveness. And it's not hard to get saved. You turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you, ask him to save your soul, he'll save you just like that. But a lot of those old-time testimonies, it would show a struggle. The struggle was not with the ease of salvation. The struggle was they knew their own heart. And they were like, "I know my sin's sending me to hell, but I know that my flesh likes my sin." And they knew they needed to come to a point of repentance where they actually said, "You know what? I want to be saved." This is not a ticket to heaven. I'm going to get saved and still live in my sin. This is a God, I'm coming to you. Save me. And the battle and the struggle took place over the fact that they were struggling with the knowledge that if I get saved, I need to get rid of this sin. I've had people tell me I couldn't get saved because I do this and this and this. Well, if you get saved, God can change your whole desire toward that sin. But the heart, the soil, is important. I'm going to close with four questions. Do you bear fruit? Does the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Do you bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a sower? Question number two, how is your soil? When the Word of God is preached, how is your soil? When you read the Bible, when you hear the Word of God preached, do you respond to the Word of God? Do you respond to it? Do you allow the Word of God to change you? Do you allow the Word of God to grow in your heart? And then, does the Word of God change you? When was the last time the Word of God caused a change in your life? Hopefully it was this week. Now, I know when a person first gets saved, there is a lot of major changes that may need to take place. You may change often, and maybe those changes are more minor as you go along because you've grown as a Christian, you've come to a certain place. But shouldn't the Word of God still be changing us? Is anyone here perfect? If you're perfect, then good. But you're not. And so we need to be growing. How's your soil? How's your soil? What's your response to the Word of God? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I have a question this morning. It's this. Are you saved? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you are here and you realize if I died today, I'd go to hell. I've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Look, salvation is being born again. Salvation is a one-time decision where you come to Christ asking Him to be your Savior, receiving Him into your heart. Are you saved today? If you're not, do you want to be? Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Decker, with heads bowed and eyes closed, raise your hand, say, Pastor Decker, I'm not saved. I'd like to be saved. Anybody? Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved. I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell and I asked Jesus to save me and I'm certain that I'm saved. Okay, if you're not, well, you need to get saved. Jesus died for you. I would say, I'm a Christian. But I need my soil plowed up, stirred up again. I want to have a good soil in my heart, be receptive to the Word of God. Would you pray for me? Okay? All right. Father, I ask that you would work in hearts right now. God, it's possible that someone right here needs to be saved. They don't know for sure. God, help them to understand it's not religion. It's faith in Christ. It's a decision to put that faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And help them to understand faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Lord, speak to Christians. God, help us to be have hearts with good soil. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you've got something to come and pray about today, I encourage you to come talk to the Lord. Is the Word of God changing you? Do you need to be saved? If you were to die and go to hell, why would you do that when Jesus died for you? He wants to save you. He wants to change your life. You don't have to live in sin any longer. You don't have to go the way of the world. Friday night, a 60-year-old man died of a heart attack. I believe he was saved. If so, he's in heaven today. If he wasn't saved, he'd be in hell burning forever from that moment on. How about you? Are you saved? If you were to die, would you go to heaven or hell? Remember this, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants to save you. But if you reject Jesus, you take upon you the punishment for your own sins. And that is hell. The lake of fire forever and ever. I want you to think about that. I want you to consider your eternity today. Christians, how's your soil? Anyone that needs to be serving downstairs, if you could just be dismissed right now, and then I'll give instructions for everybody else. If you're serving something downstairs, you need to be down there to set anything.